accession number 18729, reel 5.
This is Bothwell, reel 5.
Right, if you don't come to the inquest, they will arrest you. So she said, don't worry, she said, we'll be there. He said, you'll be getting a letter in about a week's time. Now, this was on the 9th of December, 1939. Anyway, Mother got a letter asking her to report to the court about 3 or 4 days before the date of the inquest, which was the 20th. And she would be shown around the courtroom where everybody would be sitting, and they would be told of the proceeds of the inquest as it progressed, and they would be told in what order they would be giving evidence. So Mum went up for this day's induction, as it were, and only those who would be at the hearing were allowed into the court, in other words, the witnesses. So Mum goes up there, and when she comes home, she's as white as a sheet. Dad asks her what's wrong, and she wouldn't tell him. He made her a cup of tea, and she went upstairs, and she never said a word to us girls. So the day of the inquest came, the 20th, and Frances and I were convinced that we were to go to court with Mum. So we all got up early, and Mum said, we said, we are coming to court with you, aren't we, Mum? So Mum said, well, she said, we will be allowed in court, Mum. I didn't think to ask. So she looked at Dad, pleading in her, with her eyes, and he said, oh, well, he said, I just got time. He said, I'll run down to the phone box, he said, and phone the court and find out if children are allowed into the court. So he went out, and we heard him running down the road. Now, the phone boxes in either direction were about a 15-minute walk from the house. Well, he didn't have time to even run down to the phone boxes, make the phone call, and run back again in the time between he left the house and when he got back. And he came in and he said, no, he said, children aren't allowed in the court, so you won't be going. So Mum said, well, she said, I'd better get my coat on, she said, and get off. She said, I want to get there early. So she put her coat on and she went off. And Frances looked at me and she said, Dad didn't have time to get down to the phone box, did he? And I said, no. She said, there's something funny going on. I said, yes, I know. I said, but Mum's not talking. She's not going to say, tell us what's wrong. So we stayed at home and helped look after the two babies. And Mum came in about 5:30, 6 o'clock. And Dad was worried because she was later than we'd thought. So when she came in, she was as white as a sheet and she was shaking from head to foot. So he said, what on earth's the matter, Molly? So she just shook her head. So he sat her down, he gave her a cup of tea, and she got up and he said, what are you doing? What do you want? So she said, I'm going upstairs. So she went upstairs and she was up there for ages. And she came down just before we were going to bed, and she said, I want to say something to you girls. She said, when you're going to and from school, from now on, she said, I want you to keep your eyes open. If you see any strangers hanging around the grove or in Somerley Road or Round Road, and they seem to be just looking or asking, stopping people and asking questions, she said. And if they're rough, burly types, she said, possibly wearing cloth caps, she said, most of them would have beards. She said, you're to come home and come indoors, she said, and if Dad and I aren't here, she said, you lock the back and the front doors. So we said, what's wrong, Mum? She said, just do as I ask. Please, just do as I ask.
What had happened?
Well, it was several weeks later, and she came, she'd been upstairs, and she came down and she said, I want to talk to you girls. And we sat on the sofa either side of her. She said, no. She said, you know, she said, I went to the court to be shown what was to happen at the inquest. She said, well, the family of the widow and the family of the man who'd been killed were not allowed into the court, but they were there in the building. And as Mum came out of the courtroom with the usher, he said to her, he said, Mrs. Rawlins, you and your daughters will be the first witnesses as you saw what happened to build up to the man's death. And she saw the man's family within earshot. So the usher went back into the courtroom and Mum came. She got out of the building as quickly as she could, but not quick enough. The family followed her out of the building, surrounded her at the bottom of the steps, and they threatened her, and they said that if the result of the inquest went against the family, that they would come looking for her and her family.
In what way would it have gone against the family?
Well, apparently the man... then she talked about the actual inquest, and she said, I was called first, she said, and I told the coroner that the man was drunk and that he'd got a small bottle of whiskey in his pocket and he was carrying this cycle lamp. And the widow stood up and she said, that's a lie. My husband doesn't drink. He's never drunk. The last drink he had was he was about 17. He's a member of the Temperance League and he's got an insurance policy with the league. If the result is suicide, I don't get a penny, she said, and we'll be thrown out on the street. So she said, you're lying, she said, you change your testament. So Mum, again, the coroner said, would you repeat again what you said about the gentleman, please, Mrs. Rawlins? And Mum said, yes, he was drunk and he reeked of whiskey. So,
was there ever any attack on your family as a consequence of it?
Well, as the coroner was about to retire to consider the verdict of the inquiry, and there was Mum, the tram driver, the policeman, and they had a representative from Birmingham Tramways Committee to give evidence about the emergency lighting in the blackout. And he said that they were still experimenting with lights, and he admitted that the lighting on the trams at that time were not adequate enough. And he said, I can understand that the driver didn't see the gentleman. And he said, but so the coroner said that he would take all that into consideration. And he said that he would be back with his verdict. So Mum said to the usher, she said, I've given my evidence. She said, is there any need for me to stay? And he said, no, Mrs. Rawlins, he said, you're free to go. You don't have to stay for the verdict. So she said, I got out of that building as fast as I could. Oh, and The widow, when she said the second time that the man was drunk, the widow said, if you don't change your testament, Mrs. Rawlins, and I don't get my money, she said, we know where you live, and the family will come looking for you and your daughters. So that was in front of the coroner, she said this. So the coroner...
Did the verdict go against her?
No. The coroner, he warned her that if she made any more threats, that she would be arrested and sent to prison. And if any of her family was seen anywhere near our home, that they also would be arrested and sent to prison for threatening violence. And
but he gave the verdict in favour of her.
Yes, he said that the man was walking away from the tram, that he had his back to the tram, and because of his dark clothing and the lack of light on the tram, that the driver couldn't have seen him. But Mum said that he was walking towards the tram, definitely. But she said that the driver wouldn't have seen him because he was carrying this little cycle lamp with this low beam, and half of the glass is blacked out, and there was this thing over the top of it to stop any light from going up. Now, I don't know whether you've stood by a tram, close up to the front of a tram, but the driver... You go up these steep steps to get onto the tram, and the driver is standing up much higher than that, looking out so that he can see along the lines as he's driving. And if anybody comes up close to the tram in the dark, and there's no lights, and the person's got dark clothing on, which this chap had, he wouldn't have seen him at all, whether he was walking towards or away from the tram.